So, the Money Show brought to you by Old Mutual, a licensed financial services provider. Today's the day. Get great financial advice. Do great things. Tonight's Make Money Monday special edition guest is Themba Mongeni Nkosi. Who? Who? Better known as Euphonic, with 1.1 million Twitter followers. I bow. I seriously do. How are you, Euphonic?
I'm great, man. Are you well?
So very good, thank you. Very, very good.
Yeah, man.
Where does the name Euphonic come from?
Euphonic I actually got in English class when I was doing Standard 8, and I was looking up the word euphoria for an English essay, and then I came across the word euphony, which I'm sure you know people that listen to classical music. It's a pleasing sound. So instead of standing up and saying bravo, they stand up and say, ah, that was a euphony, which means a pleasing sound.
No, I've never heard that, but then I haven't been to that. I don't hang out at those kind of concerts. So you're all about pleasing sounds. And when did you become Euphonic? When did you go from being Themba Nkosi to becoming Euphonic?
In my mind, I don't see the difference, but I think, I got well known around 2003, when I started playing at one of the big clubs here in Johannesburg as one of the resident DJs. I was 19 at the time. It's just been uphill from there, man. Or is it downhill?
No, it's hopefully still uphill. It's got to be a bit of a struggle. Music has been part of your life though from the start. I mean, I think you knew that you were destined to do something in music as a kid.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, my earliest memories of collecting music was when I was like 9 years old. And literally it was because like I wasn't a sporty human being. Academics wise, I only like stuck to the things that like I really enjoyed. So, and music was the crutch. And also like when I was in high school, like I was the go-to guy for like any song. Didn't matter what it was. So that was like my cool factor when I was in high school.
And in those days, it would have been cassettes.
It was anything and everything. Cassette, vinyl, CD was still coming into the mix at that time, like in a big way. So yeah, anything and everything, man.
How did you get your first break in DJing? Because I'm assuming that's when you first started making a bit of money.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I was an avid collector of music and I didn't know what DJing was until a friend of mine, Michael Drennan, who's also like actually like I'm still very close to him. He invited me over to his house to come DJ for his sister's birthday. And at the time, I knew nothing about like what DJing was. And all he said to me was like, well, you've got all this music. Just come play the music, you know, and I took my record player, my cassette deck and my CD player and just plugged it up to his sound system at home. And like, I was just playing the music, pressing start, stop, play here, whatever. And I just saw like what it was doing for people. And like, I think that was my first experience of DJing. So experimentally, it was like, oh, so if I play these songs in this order, like everyone's jams. And if I play this song, everyone walks off the dance floor. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I fell in love with DJing then.
Did Mr. Drennan pay you for that first gig?
Absolutely not. but it was good, man, because when I was 14 years old, I think every single weekend until my matric year, I was doing one gig or other, you know. And at the time, it was like 250 rand for the night. So I was the first person there and the last person to leave. My dad used to drive me there. So I'd give him like 50 bucks for driving me there and then 100 bucks to rent out his sound system. Then I'd be left with 100 rand to go buy more music. And at the time, like, I didn't care about like wearing Jordans or like I didn't care about anything else but making sure that I had more music.
You're dating yourself, you know, because like wearing Jordans was cool at a point in history a long time
ago. You know, for me, wearing Jordans, yes, was cool, but the family that I come from, we were raised that like at home I had chores. So whether it was cleaning the pool, cleaning the yard, making sure it was cleanly swept, washing my dad's car, washing my mom's car, making sure my dad's shoes were polished every day before
work.
Hey,
that's a good one. Sorry, I'm just writing that down. Yes, that's a good one.
And feeding and looking after the dogs all equated to money. So if I wanted a pair of Jordans, I had to say, cool, I've earned enough to get a pair of Jordans, which was basically, so if I came up with half the money for whatever it is I wanted, my parents would then put in the other half. So from back then, I realized that like, okay, cool, I'm only going to put half my money into the things that like I actually want. And a pair of Jordans, and unfortunately, as high as it was on my list of priorities, fell off very, very quickly when it was like, okay, you can have it, but come up with half the money.
But wasn't that the best lesson you could have had from mom and dad? I mean, they taught you to respect the money, that money doesn't come easily. You know, and you learn how to value it.
when I was growing up, I hated them and I thought like, this is like so uncool. But you know, when you grow up, it's when you start realizing that like, you know, every single cent and every single rand counts, and you need to be accountable for every single money that you make. And also just realizing that, like, listen, making money isn't the easiest thing. And I realized then that it's not easy to make money. So when you do make it, try and make sure that you keep it and spend it on the things that you absolutely need. Needless to say, now I've probably got like 300 pairs of shoes at my house. That
no, of course. I mean, you got to make up for lost opportunity. Naturally, I'm going to ask you about those later. Now, was money ever an issue? Was money ever a negative in your house? Did you ever feel like money was a problem?
I don't recall a day when money was ever a problem. But also, like, I also grew up where on school holidays, we were sent to my grandmother's house. My grandmother lives in the rural areas of Mpumalanga. And basically, she'd put together a meal that tasted like you were eating like from the most lavish restaurant by putting together pap and frying cabbage in such a way that like you felt like you had a full meal with meat. So I think with that, like, even if my parents like made food on a day where there was no meat involved, it was still very normal to me. So I don't remember a day like going to sleep hungry or thinking, oh no, like we don't have money for this. But what I can tell you is that my parents made a big sacrifice, because like, even if you listen to the way I speak, I went to one of the best schools in Benoni, so St. Dunstan's College. And literally, like, my parents sacrificed, and I'm the eldest child in the family, so I could see them sacrifice for school and education. And my dad comes from a family where his single mother raised six sons. Sure. And she kept, like, always said to them, like, umuntu ongafundanga ufa njengenja, which basically means that an uneducated person dies like a dog.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
it's a tough lesson, but it's one of those brutal truths that only a mother can tell their child.
Yeah.
And it sort of focuses attention. It really does. What was your earliest memory of earning money? Was it doing the chores? Was it washing your dad's car and doing the jobs?
So, it was all those chores. And also, like, I remember I was the paper boy in my area, which basically meant that, like, from the time I was in standard six until standard nine, I'd wake up at 5:30 in the morning, do the paper rounds around two neighborhoods, my neighborhood and the neighborhood next to ours, and then be back home by 6:30 to bath and get ready for school, and then be dropped off at school by seven. So, I mean, like, I used to remember that, like, those days was like, it was hard, man. Like, especially in the winter months where you have to wake up at like five to make sure that the paper runs are done. Because by the time most of these people that subscribe to the newspaper, they wake up at like 6:37 and they want their paper at their doorstep by the time they wake up. And if you haven't delivered, like, the person that's in charge of the paper rounds, like, knows where to find you, and they're already complaining, you know?
So, I mean, you and Bill Gates and Warren Buffett all delivered newspapers. What you need to do is go to Warren Buffett's annual general meeting in Omaha, Nebraska, where he and Bill Gates have a newspaper tossing competition, and you need to compete against them and see whether or not you can get yours closer to the door.
I'll whoop their asses. They don't know.
You can do it from a moving bicycle still, and they're getting it a little bit long in the tooth for it. When you were earning that money, was it all going to be spent on music?
Listen, all of it was getting spent on music, and I was saving some. So what I did is that I also needed DJ equipment. So on one of my birthdays, I asked my dad to buy me a DJ mixer, which was like the best DJ mixer at the time, a Gemini 626. And I forfeited two birthdays to get that mixer. And then
Your dad's tough.
Drives a hard bargain. Yeah. Then what I also did is that I asked him to buy me some decks, which then I had to pay off, like, with all the money that came in. So between buying new music and paying off my equipment, that's where all my money went.
Unite with Euphonic from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. every Sunday evening on 947, our sister station. Euphonic in studio with us this evening, telling us all about his lifelong love affair with working hard to make money, to buy the things that he needed to follow his dream and follow his passion and follow his hobby. And it's all about music and playing cool tunes and being the coolest guy in the room. More with Euphonic in just a moment. To find an investment, you really could try online searches and get thousands of possibilities, but perhaps you're not interested in all investments. just the right one. You may, for example, want an investment starting at 50,000 Rand, one that would get you a minimum 35% return if the markets are positive, with unlimited upside potential and a high level of capital protection if the markets turn negative, in which case you should consider Investec's Emerging Markets Digital Plus at investec.com/invest. Investec is an authorized FSP. T's and C's apply. So does a club DJ, does he have a retirement plan?
You know,
because like, this might undermine your cool factor, but it'll also be raise your cool factor amongst
I've some got people. A little bit of a retirement plan, but also, you know what, like I realized, I think in 2009, because I was like putting a lot of money away into a retirement plan, because as you know, like I'm in the business where everything you do is based on how cool you are, and there's nothing cool about a 50-year-old DJ. So there's no such thing as like, okay guys, I'm hanging my headphones and I'm retiring. But what I did start doing in 2009 is that I started investing in property a lot and putting a lot of my money into property. Then I thought to myself, like, actually, like, if I'm going to invest in a lot in property and invest aggressively in property that holds its value and grows annually, why do I need a retirement fund? So I then reduced how much I was putting into retirement plans and increased what I was putting into property.
What sort of property specifically have you invested in? Have you diversified a lot, or has there been a big focus on one particular segment?
So at the moment, like I'm heavily invested in residential property, focused on student accommodation. So I basically like buy houses that are close to like all the varsities, and I rent them out to students. As you know, we've got a big student accommodation issue in the country. And what I'm doing, I'm in the midst of all of that, is I'm also like, I've aligned myself with like a lot of the big property developers and a lot of the big property players in South Africa, and I'm learning. Funny enough, I actually just finished registering this today for a property development course that I'm going to do through UCT.
Okay, I mean, so you actually are putting not only your money into property, but really putting your money into educating yourself and learning all about property development, which, frankly, in South Africa is a good sector to be in. In terms of the sort of returns that you're getting on those properties, are you comparing the returns that you would get in the stock market versus the returns that you're getting putting them into residential accommodation, for example, for students?
So, you know what I do, like, I don't touch anything I don't understand, like, whether it's Bitcoin, and if it sounds cool, like, if I don't understand it, I don't put my money into it.
So have you got Bitcoin?
None whatsoever.
DJ Euphonic does not have Bitcoin. He's a good guy. He's your guy.
So, I mean, like the stuff I look at, generally, if there isn't a 15% minimum return on it, I don't look at it. So from 15% upwards, I start looking at it. And the nice thing about property, which is very different to music, is that with music, like I can sit in studio for like 2 weeks, a month, a year, busy working on a song that people might not like. Whereas with property, I can literally walk into a building in 5 minutes and know whether there's a deal here or not. So it's I like the property thing because of the practicality. And just like if you have all the right tools and all the right info and all the right knowledge, you'll know within a matter of minutes that you like you can do something here or not.
What gave you the basis? What did you base that 15% minimum return on? Where did you get the number from?
So basically, I mean, like if the banks are loaning money at 10.25 as it stands, you want to make some money for yourself, right? And if you put 100 Rand into a normal savings account now, you're making between 4% and 6%. So that's what I base it on.
Okay, so your 15% absolute minimum return is what you're looking at. You've got five golden rules for investment. What are those golden rules that you will not break?
So I'm big on reading, and like one of the first few investment books or financial books that I read was The Richest Man in Babylon, where the guy basically spoke about that you shouldn't be living above 70% of your income, of your monthly income. 10% you must save, 10% you must invest, and 10% you must tithe or donate. And like I also do these like property talks that people Because generally South African youths don't understand what the difference between saving and investing is. They generally think it's the same thing. So when you save, it's because you have a goal that you're saving for. So if you've got like a pair of shoes that you want to buy, that's what you save
back
for.
Back to the shoes.
And if you want to invest, and which means basically like those 1 rand that you've got will always retain its value as 1 rand. So you put it into vehicles that will allow, sorry, not cars, but like, you see what I'm saying? Like,
I understand what you're saying, but was that a slip?
No, it wasn't a slip.
Do you drive stupid cars?
I used to. I've stopped. I'm winding down right now. I think it was fun. I've also learned that certain things you need to own and other things you need access to. Ooh. So, yeah.
Explain?
I'm saying that like you can rent a Ferrari for a weekend. You don't have to own it. You know what I'm saying?
How much does it cost to rent a Ferrari for a weekend?
I have no idea.
Now, clearly you have got some bad habits. You've got some small Inyana skeletons, or you've got at least 300 small Inyana skeletons, or 300 pairs of skeletons. Other than shoes, do you have any bad money habits?
Shoes, technology, and travel. But like you see, like all of those things are like neither here nor there, really, especially the travel, because when you travel, you get to like see the world and like it changes your perspective on everything. Okay. And also
travel.
Like
we'll let you have travel tech. What kind of tech do you spend money on?
Sorry?
What sort of tech do you spend money on?
Oh, man, like music gadgets and like phones and personal gadgets.
How many of those are essential and how many are just because you can?
That's a hard question. Like, you know, my phone I use every day, all the time. It's like 24, it's a part of my body now. So like with that, I change a phone every single year. Like I update my phone every single year based on what's new and out there. And also I've got like FOMO. So if I know that there's like, for instance, like iPhone 7 out and I'm still on iPhone 5, like there's no ways I want to be at iPhone 5. So I'll move quickly.
Okay. So you're a bit of a sucker for a trend.
Yeah.
Okay, well, clearly, with 300 pairs of shoes, what's the most amount of money you've ever spent on a pair of shoes?
As it stands, like, I think 12K, as embarrassing as that is. Sorry, Mom. Mm. Sure.
Do they, like, walk themselves to the shops or something?
But they're, like, the designer pairs are, like, really expensive.
Sure. And how many of those pairs have you got?
Too many to tell.
Clearly, money excites you. You understand the principle of money as being this great enabler, and you've always understood it. It's built in. It's built into your DNA. But do you get scared about money ever?
Do you know what? Like, reading has helped me so much that one of the books that I read, I forget what the title is, but it said that, what do you think about money? And then you write down like what you think about money, like money is this, money is that, money is this. And then the guy asks, what do you think money thinks about you? And what a lot of people don't realize is that like money doesn't care about you. Money just knows that like it's either going to be spent or that it wants to make more money. So I basically switched off my emotions when it comes to money a long time ago. And for me, I'm neither here nor there with how much I've got. But like I always try and make sure that like I've got enough for me and my family and the monthly expenses that I've got. And then everything else that I make, I invest. So like I'll buy a new phone. Yes, I'll buy those shoes. But like every single thing that I want, I save for it. So it's not just like, I had 10 extra grand, I'm going to go buy a phone. No, like I can tell you that like I started saving for this phone in January and it's September now. There's a new phone. I'm ready to buy it. So that like every single money that leaves my account, like I'm accountable for. And I know that like I started saving for this on this date and today, like I'm spending the money and I know exactly where it comes from. I mean, like I've been saving since aggressively saving since 2005. And I can tell you like I've still got some of that money from 2005.
What's the best thing you've ever done with money?
The best thing I've ever done with money is educate myself. Like I'm a varsity dropout because at the time, like in 2006, I was studying BCom marketing and all I wanted to do was to be a DJ. And there was the opportunity for me to be on radio and like just, you know, like be euphonic. There was an opportunity to be euphonic. So I then decided to drop out of varsity. And now, like, I'm educating myself again. So, like, I mean, like, I buy a lot of books. I do a lot of online courses. I hang out with people that, like, have information and knowledge. So, like, there's also a big difference between education and schooling. So I think a lot of people need to understand that.
He's a wise guy. His name is Euphonic. He is our Make Money Monday special edition guest this evening. What a pleasure to have you in. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing with us insights learned at the coalface of property and insights learned from books and the fact that he has a retirement plan. But the real retirement plan is in student properties. Smart guy, you're fine.